Thank you very much. So the title for today is Infection Control from Local to Global, Fostering Partnership and Rock and Roll. Welcome to the hospital. Infections are waiting for you at the entrance door of the hospital and will certainly complicate your hospital stay, as you know. We all know that hand hygiene is the first preventive measure, but unfortunately we are all not compliant with the procedure. According to data, less than 40% compliance is recorded worldwide. We all know Ignaz Semmelweis. I have no time to recall the story. We know that he has made a definitive intervention promoting not hand washing, but hand hygiene, hand cleansing with chlorinated lime solution, with a dramatic action that you remember, this reduction of the maternal mortality rate, the tip of the iceberg of cross-transmission at that time. And we were, yes, Alex, 150 years ago that he wrote the thesis. The intervention was on the 15th of May, 1847. But we all know that it was very painful for Semmelweis. Here are two engrafting from Semmelweis before and after the intervention. Actually, after the intervention, but there are only 4 years in between the engrafting. It looks like it took 10 years, right? This is just summarizing the crusade that we are all embarking when we want to promote hand hygiene. We know it's difficult. In tribute to Semmelweis, we will be celebrating Semmelweis in this auditorium to start with this Friday, as well as during the rest of the day. And I please and enjoy come to this famous Semmelweis Day. In a few minutes, I will recall to all of you, but most of you know the story, what we did at Hug and started almost 20 years ago. Everything started with a nicely done and conducted epidemiological study where we found that the more people, and in this case nurses, had opportunities for hand hygiene per hour of patient care on the horizontal axis, and that will be my only scientific slide, the less the compliance on the vertical axis. And you know, there is no question that there is a close relationship between the two. And these are means of many, many, many observations. In the ICU, as you know, a nurse would have no less than 22 opportunities per hour of patient care to clean his or her hands. At that time, the guidelines were for the use of hand washing with soap and water that would take between 1 to 1.5 minutes. So you sum up, it makes like 30 minutes per hour a nurse should clean hands in the ICU, which is totally impossible, right? So this is the reason why we did what was called earlier by Sir Liam a system change. We recommended to switch from soap and water hand washing to alcohol-based hand rubbing. This is what you call a system change. What we also did is actually use those alcohol-based hand rub bottles that we made a little funny to remind people to clean their hands and give them very simple instruction how to, when to clean their hands. Here we are at the University of Geneva in 1995. Now what we did too is that we educate our healthcare worker using very simple tools. And those tools were designed by a good friend of mine, PayCube, who actually, no mystery, will be here tomorrow to make a few draw for you. Education was simple, direct, and interactive. We used the walls of the hospital in a technique named the talking walls to remind people about the importance of healthcare-associated infection, the importance of resistance. My son, if they don't get me, you will become multi-resistant. He's telling father MRSA to little boy MRSA. Hand rub is the natural killer of cross-transmission. Dirty staff, the way we call MRSA, staff le sale pour les traducteurs, out of hospital, right? We wanted to be aggressive. These were workplace reminders to remind healthcare workers how to change the practice. Then the bugs became frightened by our action, finally going to Sigmund Freud. Dr. Freud, in this hospital, it becomes impossible to cause infections anymore. Well, it looks funny, but actually this is safety culture, introducing the culture of safety in your institution for hand hygiene. What else did we do? We monitor hand hygiene. We monitor the performance, and here are the compliance of many healthcare workers, monitored every 6 months at the University of Geneva between December 1994 and December 1997 on this graph. As you can see on yellow, hand washing with soap and water remained quite stable, but what explained for the improvement was hand rubbing with alcohol-based hand rub actually in orange on this slide. So what we did is monitoring the performance and feedback the performance to the entire hospital. In the meantime, we monitored infections. And yes, it went down. It went down by 50% in almost 4 years, as you can see on this slide. And actually, the paper was published in the Lancet, in the mother journal. The Lancet Infectious Disease still did not exist at that time. And guess who was the reviewer and the peer editor of the journal? John, right, John? Okay. So 8 years down the road, we published a cost-effectiveness analysis in Ishii, and yes, it is perfectly cost-effective to pay for the campaign, and actually got a huge success, provided that actually you are successful, you are cost-effective. And this is actually one of the most, if not the most cost-effective strategy, not only in hospital, but in public health. Now, what else? Where are we today? Here is the figure. The figure is the consumption of alcohol-based hand rub per liters at the University of Geneva over the 16 years by the so-called Geneva promotion model. As you can see in 2009, yes, we peaked. Why? Because of H1N1, because people wanted to protect themselves even more than they used to be. And as you can see, average compliance in our institution is not 100%. It's 74%, around 74%. There is a long way to go, and we can predict these to increase. Good news for those selling alcohol-based hand rub, right? Now, the paper was published in The Lancet. What does tell the paper? It's a multimodal intervention strategy to actually improve hand hygiene, system change, education, monitoring and performance feedback, reminders in the workplace, and of course, strong administrative support, leadership, and culture change. So then the World Health Organization and Sir Liam came to my office and said, Didier, would you imagine to sort of endorse this and imagine a way we could benefit, make people benefit all around the world? It was a great privilege for me, and we embarked in the so-called Clean Care is Safer Care. Through this strategy, could we make it universal? And that's what I will discuss now. But first, you have to realize, you need to make sure that you will prevent infection. So, yes, clean hands reduce the burden of disease. If you look at the literature between 1975 and June of last year, at least 36 studies definitively prove the relationship between the two. So, yes, we have the solution, and it seems to be beneficial, so let's go. So the challenge was made of three objectives. The first was to raise awareness, the second to mobilize nation, the third to develop technical guidelines and tools. The first, raising awareness, what we did is we tried to know about the burden of disease. So for these, I can tell you, yes, there is a huge burden of disease. You heard earlier the Ministry of Health, through the voice of the ambassador, telling that every day, now that we are speaking to you, 1.4 million of patients are getting an infection in hospitals only. So it's a huge number of diseases every day. Yes, the disease, here are prevalence studies based on study that we published actually in The Lancet. The rate of disease is higher in developing compared to developed countries. But the problem is definitively universal. For those interested, we did a meta-analysis that was published actually in The Lancet, and here is the reference to this article. Now, this is awareness raising. Second is mobilizing nation. When you work in your institution, you want to convince your CEO, you want to convince your chief medical officer, chief nurse, right? When you work at WHO, you work with ministries of health. So what we did, we imagined to have a pledge that Ministry of Health would sign. In this pledge, they would write, acknowledging the importance of healthcare-associated infection, recognizing the importance of hand hygiene, telling that they would be ready to share data and experience, and probably and possibly use our tools. So these are signatures of Ministry of Health of all around the world. Those pledges were handed to myself or to Sir Liam in meetings, many times in front of journalists and many societies in different countries from all around the world, as you have some example now on this slide. Now, where are we today, 5 years down the road? Here are the countries from around the world who have signed these. We are covering with this initiative 128 countries, and there are countries still coming on board. which represent actually almost 90% of the world population covered by this initiative. Among those countries, there are several countries with national campaigns where the country has run in the country a system to make it universal within the countries, and they are listed here in this slide, and I will come back on these. The third point was actually to develop technical guidelines and tools to change the behavior. So for this, we were very privileged, because what we did, we actually drove the evidence toward developing guidelines, international guidelines, evidence-based, together, because we all have guidelines in our offices, they're piled in our offices, and we do nothing about it, together with an implementation strategy to make sure that people will use those guidelines and apply those guidelines at the bedside. Within those tools that we developed, we actually had these tools of the five-mode multimodal intervention strategy. Now you know the story: system change, training, performance feedback, evaluation, reminders, and culture of safety, which is just a way to adapt the system that we had developed. Among those tools is the famous My Five Moments for Hand Hygiene that now has been endorsed worldwide, of course, has been translated to understand, remember, and practice hand hygiene, has been translated in many different languages, and also translated into a movie that I won't show to you because it will be too long, a hand hygiene video that was published actually in March in the New England Journal of Medicine. Now, importantly, if you want people to actually adopt a strategy, they have to adapt the strategy. They have to make the strategy their own, right? Here are illustrations of the way people have adapted worldwide. I can show you probably 5,000 pictures of the way people have adapted it, right? You cannot adapt anything. You cannot change the five moments, but you can illustrate the five moments differently, and so on and so on. Last but not least, we imagine to have a day where people will celebrate in healthcare hand hygiene. So this day is known as the 5th of May. Why the 5th of May? Because five-mode multimodal strategy, and because actually five moments for hand hygiene. 5th of May. Easy. And we have 10 fingers. Most of us have 10 fingers. So that's why we choose the 5th of May. So I know it's not optimal. I know in China, the 5th of May is Boys' Day. I say it's sorry for the girls, right? What can I say? Now, I think it's important to realize that it was to generate a movement. For this movement, we have been endorsed and supported by many, and many more than those included here. And we have now asked facilities worldwide to actually record and register and come to us and come, let's come together in this movement. We have now almost 15,000 hospitals worldwide in 153 countries that have endorsed the strategies and that are using, as far as we know, the tools that we have developed, which makes a huge hospital with actually 5.6 million staffs and 3.3 million beds. And we are continuing to see people coming on board. As you understand, we moved from the concept of moving the Ministry of Health to this concept of point-of-care hand hygiene promotion strategy. Now, is there evidence for success worldwide? I have no time to go into the data, but I can tell you that at this meeting there will be data and others. We have many papers coming and many abstracts formed. But we field-tested the implementation first. We gave the material between 2006 and 2008 to many hospitals around the world and tell, without helping them too much, say, try it, and we'll answer a few questions, a few emails a month, right? And they did, and they returned to us with comments. We also had pilot sites in Costa Rica for the America, in Mali, in Africa, in Italy, in Pakistan, in Saudi Arabia, in Bangladesh, and in China. In these sites, our team from WHO visited the sites and actually went with them in order to make sure that it was feasible in their country and that they could apply all the strategy so that we could revise the strategy then if necessary. So as you can see, we tested it from very modern healthcare settings to settings with very limited resources, and importantly, in a very multicultural environment. And as one of the examples, but there are many, of this multicultural environment is this overcoming religious barriers. Here is the launch of the strategy in Saudi Arabia with regretted WHO Director General Dr. Lee, who actually was videocast. I was there at that time, and videocast broadcast with the ministries of Saudi Arabia. Here we are launching the strategy. I cannot tell if the translation is correct, but my friend Ziad Memish knows that this is correct because he was the one to promote it in his country. The issue was, could Muslim healthcare workers use alcohol on their hands? And the answer is not that easy. To make a long story short, you can read it in The Lancet. We have this published. We went and read the Quran with a team, looking at everything that was dealing with alcohol. We went to consult the Muslim clergy, the Muslim scholars in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. We thought we should go for a fatwa. Finally, it was not needed. It was good. It worked very well. Nowadays, in Muslim countries, in Saudi Arabia, more than 300 hospitals are really largely using alcohol-based hand rub to a very high level. And in Muslim countries is the region of the world where this initiative is taking the most of the people. So this is really a tribute to our friends and colleagues in these countries. Ensuring universal system change. Remember, alcohol should be at every bedside. How would you do it in these conditions? What we imagine to do, because you can understand that those hospitals cannot afford to buy the alcohol, so what we did, we provided a guide for the local production of the WHO alcohol, that's the way we called it, WHO alcohol-based hand rub formulation, made of sugar can, of the part of the sugar can that you don't use to produce the sugar, you can make alcohol at very, very low cost. And it was made for the first time by our friend, Lozemi Bengali, who actually did it in Mali after some training in Geneva, of course. But now he's training many people from the rest of the world, but in particular from Africa to do that. Here we are in Durban, South Africa, with an alcohol-based hand rub, homemade. And here we are with Sir Liam, trying to shake the hand of this pregnant woman. Be reassured, we didn't do any care to this woman at that time, with an alcohol-based local hand rub preparation. How to scale up and implement the solution worldwide? The launch of the Mali campaign is a nice example. Here you are, it's in French, of course, because Mali is a French-speaking country. You are invited by the Ministry of Health to come to the launch of the campaign in this very modest hospital in Mali, which is still the referral hospital of Mali. Here is the big bottle, the giant alcohol-based hand-rub bottle, and here's my friend Lozemi. And next to the bottle, Solution pour l'hygiène des mains. It means hand-rub solution. And here is the Ministry of Health signing on this bottle, je m'engage et je signe. It means I engage myself and my country in this endeavor. After that, we had the privilege 2 years later to actually speak for 30 minutes, which is a lot, to all Ministry of Health of Africa in the Afro-WHO meeting in Cameroon, actually in 2008. And my friend, the Ministry of Health of Mali, stand up, because I asked him to stand up and spoke to me, with me, to all these ministers. And right after, 27 of those ministers engaged in the strategy. And nowadays, this strategy is running and running based on the example of this very modest and simple country, Mali. So here is the endorsement of the strategy, and there are many more examples worldwide. How to ensure the sustainability of the program, the strategy worldwide? Well, the one tool that we issued last year, or this, and actually promoted this year, is this: monitoring your own institution. Hand hygiene is not an only one single person performance. It is to the institution to mobilize each of the healthcare workers, each of the CEOs and others in this endeavor. We have a form that it takes 2 hours to fill out to know where you are in the way to become a lead excellent center for hand hygiene. So use it. How to continue, or what's next? Next, we are continuing to publishing our experience, of course. We are continuing to teach using a very, very nice system, thanks to Paul Weber training, which is broadcasted worldwide. And actually, this opening session is broadcasted by Paul, and he is able to actually distribute this worldwide. We have had up to 6,000 people in the same broadcasting together with Paul. And this is absolutely fantastic to teach worldwide at very, very, very low cost. Asia Pacific Award for Excellence for Hand Hygiene Promotion. There is a way for you to know not only if you are good, but if you could be excellent. You could apply in the Asia Pacific region to this award, but be reassured, we'll start and launch the award for Europe at this meeting and very soon in South America. But for being a leader, your facility is a reference center, should contribute to the promotion of hand hygiene, to research, innovation, and information sharing. How to continue? Partnership. Partnership is really the definitive way to progress. I like this group. This group, I called a core group of experts who came to WHO the first time to build up the guidelines, the dream team. The dream team for hand hygiene. This team is another team. That's the team of countries with hand hygiene promotion campaigns. And those people are coming with their experience of promoting hand hygiene at a large scale. And we are sharing our experience to do better for the next time, for the next year, for the next decade. This is very important. The next time of partnering is this one. And if you allow, I would like to show you these slides without any word, because I don't think we need any word. We live in a global world. Global health is the key for the future. Global health is a wide definition, but we need to consider this. Without working together, we have no chance for success. So in this, we have imagined, and we imagine, as exemplified by many, that we should turn the world upside down. We could learn from each other. Shared learning and co-development is really what we are looking for. Now, that's the reason why we developed the African Partnership for Patient Safety toward France, just joined us today, as you heard before. The idea is to link partnership between hospitals, in this case in Europe, French, English, Portuguese-speaking, to hospitals in Africa, French, English, and Portuguese-speaking. In the idea of understanding partnership, improving patient safety, and then each hospital, and the mandate is to have one excellence center for patient safety in each country in Africa for 2015, and then each of those hospitals will have to scale up. Those people are here today, the people of the first waves of hospitals who started to pilot the program. As you can see, there are hospitals in the UK, hospital mostly in Switzerland, linked to hospital in Africa, and our friends are all here to learn, and this program is going up and growing up and growing up. This is the first wave. We will be entering in the second wave soon. Those hospitals have made an assessment of what are their needs, and these are 12 pillars for patient safety. I have no time to develop those, of course, but this is the way we would like the future to be seen. These are pictures of many of those hospitals that are in this partnership program. What are the visions and perspectives? There are many. Among those, you have seen this slide already, patients. Patients are our partners. It's difficult to convince mostly healthcare workers that patients can be our partners, but we should work with them. For those interested, we published a review on the topic on the role of patients to promote patient safety and in particular, of course, hand hygiene. Now, and what about rock and roll? Rock and roll was in my title, I know about it, but, well, let me first thank people who helped me and others in this procedure. The Geneva Infection Control and Healthcare Worker Team, inspiring WHO on hand hygiene improvement worldwide. The first Global Patient Safety Challenge Team, who are the real workers? I'm just the showman in the story. The African Partnerships for Patient Safety Team that I just referred to. The core group of international experts that were very, very strong behind all of us and worked so hard. And they are not all on these photos, but many of them are here. And it's clear that we have a common mission. Our common mission is really to improve patient safety together, making healthcare safer together. But you will tell me, and what about rock and roll? Well, rock and roll, I'm not so good in rock and roll, but you all know that there are modern ways to communicate. And you all know about our movie, If It Works. But if it doesn't work, I may have a solution for you. Should I do anything? No. Now, I will show you another movie if the first one doesn't work, which doesn't seem to work. What can I do in this case? Well, today, very special for ICPIC, for all those who know the hand hygiene dance, that I'm poor dancer. Let me introduce to you the real ones. Il passe pas mes diapos. Passe pas mes diapos, mais il faut savoir. So yes, there is no more mystery. They are here. So the dancers are here, and the challenge is to make you dance. And it will be the nicest introduction to this ICPIC meeting. You have all seen the hand hygiene video. For those who haven't seen it, you can get it from Sandrine, who just crossed the hall with one of the infection control nurse, who was the person who made the dancers actually realize this hand hygiene dance. Now, so some of you may have heard me, listen to me, and as you know, it was easier to have dancers be taught how to hand rub than to have nurses be taught how to dance. That's why we choose to have dancers for these endeavors. Don't worry, we won't. We are a little late. So no movie, just the real show. Thank you very much. So thank you very much. Sorry, the first movie to introduce Adil and team didn't work. Now enjoy the aperitif, as we say. There will be a few more things. And welcome to ICPIC. Tomorrow morning we start at 8 with actually 8 Meet the Expert sessions. Welcome. Thank you very much.